let's do this.
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm kind of caught off guard a little bit because my little timer on the studio says that I've got another 7 seconds or 8 seconds of music playing, but it ended, so I guess my 30 seconds is up. Welcome. It's Rated G Radio. It is Wednesday night. It is January 16th at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and I'm thrilled you're here. I've got two exciting guests tonight that you're going to absolutely love. Of course, we're going to welcome back George B. Style to talk style and fashion from the Golden Globes over the weekend. And after that, we've got Greg Archer coming on to talk about entertainment and television and all kinds of fun stuff like that. And you will absolutely love both of these gentlemen as they are now regulars on Rated G Radio, which comes to you live every Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if we're lucky, you get a two-hour show on Friday night. That's the Friday Night Dance Party. A little homework here. I'm going to tell you that tomorrow night I've got John Weisskopf, author of The Ascendancy, coming on the line. Not only am I thrilled to have him on, but he's a great storyteller, and he will be a fantastic addition to the show tomorrow evening. And I hope that after we visit, you'll go buy his book, The Ascendancy, a modern-day telling of Jack and the Beanstalk, on Amazon.com or wherever fine books are sold. Okay, so here's my day today. I got up at – I actually kind of woke up early only because I'm – and for years. I'll just go back and I'll kind of backstory this here. For years, I have not used an alarm clock ever for at least like the last 10, 11, 12 years. I always wake up on time, always at the time I need to wake up, and so on and so forth. And so last night, of course, I knew that I was going to head out to my first board meeting of the day with Junior Achievement of Orange County. And it was the first opportunity for me to see a lot of the folks that I know and love over there for the first, you know, for 2013, and so I wanted to make sure I was up early. So, of course, what do? I wake up at 3, go back to sleep, wake up at 4, go back to sleep, wake up at 4:30, go back to sleep, and, you know, rinse, repeat until about 6 o'clock, or 5:30 or something like that. And so I said, you know, it's time to get up, time to get your rear in gear and get going. And so I did that. Had a great meeting with the folks at Orange County Junior Achievement. I'm going to tell you that I'm going to be part of an event here at Starview Elementary School. Let me pull out the date here. It is on February 27th, and I'm going to ask the folks of Junior Achievement to come on in the next couple of weeks and talk about that in a little bit more detail, and then ask for your support in providing financial literacy programs to kids who are going to grow up and be leaders in our communities. So, again, Junior Achievement of Orange County helped start the day. I got back to my home office, made a couple of customer calls, and got some people taken care of that I am helping on their relocation and moving side of the business, and then raced off to my afternoon board of directors meeting with Southern California Relocation Council, SCRC. I'm on the board of directors there, and I'm in charge of programs, which means that quarterly when we have our meetings, if the meetings are a success, it's because I got great speakers or great topics and so forth, much like the Rated G Radio Show. And so they have enlisted me to make sure their programs this year are without fail. And without fail, for week number 2, I have got George B. Style calling in to talk all things fashion. I'm going to bring him on. Usually we're going to start about 5 after the hour, but I see him calling in early, and I wanted to thank him for being prompt, especially because he's calling from New York City, where they don't make paste salsa. So, George, welcome back to Rated G Radio for week number 2. How are you, my friend?
I'm so good, Garrett. How are you?
I'm great. So tell me about your day. What did you do?
What did I do today? Well, I had a fabulous day. I met a new client this morning at their loft in the Flatiron District. Very interesting girl who found me on Twitter. By the way, tweet me, George B. Style on Twitter. That's where she found me. And it was amazing. We went to her house and we met for the first time. I got a sense of kind of how she wanted to work and what her goals were, and we looked at some great inspirational photos that she liked, of styles that she liked, and sort of got a game plan of how we're going to go forward. So that was really cool. And then I did the very, very glamorous task of returning clothes that I borrowed for a photo shoot that I did on Monday for the cover of a magazine for a client of mine and a very good friend of mine who is going to be playing the fairy godmother in Cinderella on Broadway, Victoria Clark. Tony Award winner is going to be the fairy godmother on Broadway. So I returned the clothes that we shot at the Plaza Anthony on Monday, and she'll be on the cover of Resident Magazine, which is where I have a column, and they're doing a 4-page spread on her, and it's really, really exciting. So that was it was a great shoot, but I returned the clothes and chatted with the store about doing some more things with them, and that took up most of my day. How's that?
Well, that's pretty darn good. So let me ask you this. So when you do a shoot like that, is it typical that the clothes, shoes, and ensemble are usually returned to the store, or are these things that you typically say, okay, the model or actress, actor, whoever it may be, will end up keeping the items, and do they pay for them? Does the store pay for them? Do you pay for them? How does that all work?
Well, it really does vary. And, sometimes I'll work with a store. In this case, I had worked with a particular store that I love in Soho called Super Trash. Amazing store on the corner of Prince and Mott. This is like fabulous. If you go to New York, you have to go to Super Trash. They're from the Netherlands and the store is insane. And I also worked with a designer named Rolando Santana, who I just live for. His dresses are the most gorgeous you've ever seen. He just really understands the woman's body. And he lent me these beautiful gowns that she wore. So what happens is, it just depends. Sometimes, the designer will want to give them the gown or the piece of clothing. Sometimes, if it's from a retail store, they give them like an amazing discount and they can shop. It just really depends on each individual and how they want to do it. And every case varies. So it also depends on the exposure. There's just so many variables. And it just depends on, each case. So that's not what I would say.
So how did the store react today when you said, I'm coming back with all of my gowns that I bought last week?
They were totally fine. That was the agreement that we had, and they were happy to lend it to me. But she ended up buying one of them. Oh, yeah, because, they get the exposure in the magazine. They're so excited. It's, it's publicity. And she ended up buying one of the dresses anyway, so it was perfect.
It worked out for everybody. Right on.
Yeah.
Well, George, I'm going to tell you, it seems like we had an event this past Sunday that a lot of people dressed up for, and people
Garrett,
are
I have a lot
do.
To say.
Oh, my
I
God. Well,
say.
I'm not even going to, try to hold you back. So Sunday we had the Golden
Garrett.
Globes. There we go. There's your intro.
God.
I'm going to shut up. Go. It's the Golden Globes.
Let
no,
me just
no
tell
about
you
it.
Right now. Honey, this was a very interesting evening. I mean, when it was good, it was good. When it was bad, it was B-A-D, bad. Oh, my eyes, I cannot look at it. It's like a bad car accident. You just have to look, but you don't know what to do. I mean, are you kidding me? I just want to explain something. So, the Golden Globes, come on, fabulous, glamour, fashion, everybody's out, they're working it, it's just a great time. It's so interesting to me because these girls and guys come to these events, and I am blown away by some of these choices because it's like they don't think about, what do I want to look like and am I going to look my best and I just want to look really great. Sometimes they're just so interested in making a statement that it goes so wrong. And then the other thing that happens that I think is fascinating, and I know because I've lived it, and some stylists will talk about it and some won't, but you know what? I'm going to talk about it, so get ready. So here's the thing. Yeah, it's like the stylist will have an argument, and we lose sometimes, and when we lose, everybody loses because it's disastrous on the red carpet, okay? So that's really what happens. You put a fabulous dress on someone, and you're standing in the mirror. She knows she looks good. That she looks good. And then she turns to you and says, I don't know. It's so obvious. Should I wear this? No one's going to expect me to look like this. I want to look different. I hate that. It makes my skin crawl. It's like different for the sake of different. Are you kidding me? Why don't you just look glamorous? So with that, I've got to talk about specific cases. I'm just going to go there, Garrett. I'm going to go there. I'm going there with love, but I'm going there. All right. First of all, let me just tell you. I would say here are I'm going to give you my five misses. My five worst dress. My five. Oh, my eyes.
Love it.
My eyes. They're hurting me. Okay. First of all, Halle Berry. Girl, what happened? I do not understand. She was wearing this Versace dress. I mean, she's so beautiful. She's like the most gorgeous thing you've ever seen. She doesn't even look real. When you see her in person, you're like, you just can't believe someone looks like that. It's like, first of all, it's rude how beautiful you are. Leave the premises immediately. And then she puts on this dress that is horrific. I mean,
it's like
it
see-through
was bad.
And... just, it was
like
a jungle print.
It was pattern. It was one shoulder. Her boob was squished into it. It was ill-fitting. It was like she was wearing a sarong. I mean, and it was so wrong as in sarong. Do you know what I'm saying? It was not good, Garrett. Not good. She just didn't look good, honestly. She's so beautiful. And I was like, that was just like a Greek tragedy. Okay. Then, Miss Lucy Liu. Girl, you need to stop looking in the magic mirror, honey. She was looking in the magic mirror with that Carolina Herrera dress.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it was a beautiful dress, but not for that event and not on her.
Well,
like,
and it might have been beautiful
person,
if she was in, like, the French 1700s.
Well, yeah, or you know what? Like, seriously, Kelly Osbourne could have worn that dress because it was, like, quirky. Like, someone, you know, or Katy Perry, someone who's, like, kind of quirky and, you know, sort of like, you know, pin-up girl, you know, 1940s, because it sort of
but
had that
Lucy
sort
Liu.
Of camp factor. But not Lucy Liu. She's too gorgeous. Lucy Liu, why aren't you wearing some beautiful, like, Azzedine Alaia or some gorgeous, like, Donna Karan backless black sequin number? I mean, she's so chic-looking, and I couldn't get over it. And that hair. I mean, it looked like she was out in the field all day and decided to come onto the red carpet. Someone slapped a dress on her. I mean, no. Okay, then we had Rachel Weisz. You know, it's funny. She's a beautiful girl, and, you know, there's very specific trends that are happening. We have the black and white trend, we have the blush trend, the blush color, flesh tone trend, we have the metallic trend, and we have the sheer trend. So you could see on the red carpet that everybody was working these trends in their own way. And Rachel Weisz was wearing this, you know, black sheer Louis Vuitton dress. And it was like, again, you're at the wrong event. I mean, go to a cocktail party, you know, go to a fun opening of a restaurant, go to, you know, a vacation, beautiful outdoor beautiful cocktail party by the water, not a red carpet. It just didn't work. It was a gorgeous dress, not on her, not for that event. Okay, Jessica Chastain. I mean,
oh my God, do you want to vomit?
I was like,
and
girl,
I don't ever get excited about dresses. And when I saw that, it was like, this is Titanic gone bad because you've just gone down the
it's
baby
like,
blue.
She's so beautiful, and the color was gorgeous on her, but the dress was so ill-fitting. And
right.
I love
Calvin
Klein.
She looks like she's 42 months pregnant.
Exactly. It was like, and that hair, she needs to, like, run, not walk, and murder her hairdresser. That was horrible. And at first, again, such a beautiful girl, you know, with that gorgeous red hair and that beautiful body and that just luscious skin. That
should
dress
have been skin
was
tight.
Like,
they needed to
it was just
pull that
the
in.
Wrong choice.
It was like the dress was made for Oprah.
Yeah, it just was not good. The only thing good that I can say about it, the color was stunning on her, but it needed to be a totally different silhouette. Then, okay, I mean, there's mixed reviews on this. I'm sorry. At some point, it is subjective, but I got to say, Kate Hudson, another stunner. But that Alexander McQueen, I liked the bottom half of the dress, and I liked the gold around the waist, but that big brocade collar, I know, I understand the look, but it just, she's so beautiful, and she has such a gorgeous body. It was just too much dress for her. I just saw all this gold around her neck, and it was, like, big and clunky. And then the rest of the dress was beautiful on her. It just was not good. I was very disappointed. So let's talk about the successes, shall we? Moving on. All right. Now, Nicole Kidman. Since we were talking about, you know, Alexander McQueen on Kate Hudson, Nicole Kidman was also in Alexander McQueen. Perfection. Sheer perfection. The hair, the makeup, the dress, absolutely stunning. Fit her beautifully. I loved the gold intricate embroidery work around her, her neck and her chest, and then the beautiful sheer midriff around the middle of the dress. Just gorgeous. She looked classy. She looked stunning. She looked beautiful for the event. Absolutely like a movie star. perfection. Then we have, now, this is so interesting, Zooey Deschanel in Oscar de la Renta. I thought she was gorgeous, beautiful color, and it's like this quirky girl got it right. So
but
I don't know
she,
who your
looks
stylist
like a movie
is, honey.
Star.
She does. I don't know who her stylist is, but A+.
They got it right.
I'm doing a silent golf clap here in New York, Garrett. I'm loving that. You know, she really looked like a movie star, and I thought she was beautiful. And then, and red was also a very big color on the red carpet. Then we have Miss Amy Adams. She just looked so beautiful, and that Marquesa dress, it was gorgeous. It was like all fitted to her body, then the beautiful fishtail, beautiful for her skin and her hair. I loved the finger wave coming down, side the updo, very soft, really feminine, and I just thought it was a beautiful, beautiful fit,
yeah,
and she looked like a movie star.
If they would have done the same type of cut with that light blue dress on the redhead that we were just talking about, Jessica Chastain, she would not have looked as horrible as she does. She would have looked great because she's got the body for it, just like Amy Adams has right now.
Absolutely correct. And then, you know, I love Julianne Moore. I'm not name dropping Garrett, but I must say Julianne Moore actually lives up the street from me here in New York in the West Village, and I do see her from time to time. And she is gorge. I mean, you know, she's when she walks around, you know, obviously no makeup, fresh scrub, she just looks really pretty. But when she gets done up, she looks so beautiful. And I loved that Tom Ford dress on her. And black and white is such a big trend, and she wore it so well. And her hair was up, and she just looks so polished.
Well, she's stunning.
Like such a movie star. She's stunning. And I'll tell you, it's funny. You know, I think that it just reminded me of when she did the movie A Single Man, and she just looked like that. You know, Tom Ford, they must have really collaborated well on that movie and kept a relationship afterwards, because it really was sort of reminiscent for me of how she looked in the movie, and I thought she looked sensational in that movie.
Can I tell you something about her dress that I really thought was great? You know, because it goes all the way down to her feet. You don't see any shoes. You don't see anything. She looks just kind of like the statuette fembot type of a thing that she's going to just magically float on the air, and she looks just fantastic and gorgeous.
Yeah. Gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. And then, you know, turns around and the dress is backless, which is just fabulous drama. So then we have to talk about my girl, Anne Hathaway. God bless. I think she's so beautiful, and I love her sense of style. And the thing I like about Anne is that she knows what she looks good in, and she knows how to adjust her look for where she is in her life in terms of, like, what her style is of the moment. So here she's got this beautiful short pixie haircut, very Gamine, very Audrey Hepburn, you know, and then she wears this gorgeous Chanel dress, and it's so great with that short hair because, you know, it's off the shoulder, so it really makes her face like the highlight, and it's all about her face, and the dress is so simple that with the short hair it just makes such a statement. The whole package together is so
totally
gorgeous on that runway.
Now,
and I love the white, you know.
This girl needs to eat a cheeseburger. But beyond that, you are dead
on.
No,
I think she looks fantastic. I think some of the girls are too skinny. Not Anne. She's tall and she's lean, and the whole
How tall is she?
It just Anne, I would say she's got probably about 5'9".
She's a tall girl then. Okay, I was going to say she was
she
like 6'7" or something like that with that dress.
No, she doesn't play professional basketball, Garrett.
she's not part of the WNBA. Okay. Gotcha.
No. And so those are my girls. Those are the winners. I just thought they looked great. And I think that, you know, they really were just so appropriate for their coloring, their sense of style, knowing what they look good at. Oh, the other one that I really thought looked amazing, I have to say, was Taylor Swift. She's wearing Donna Karan. She looked stunning. The dress was stunning. That black Donna Karan, she looked gorgeous in it.
You, I think, are right on the money. I wish I would have known this before, because I would have talked to you and placed bets in Vegas on all of your commentary tonight. You're just totally like dead on.
Well, you know, it's funny. I really like it when people look their best, and I am very inspired by, you know, just I think glamour comes from within, and I've never been the type of person, you know, when I dress people, I really want them to know what they look good in, and I don't believe in different for the sake of different. I hear it a lot with my clients. I know it happens a lot on the red carpet. And, you know, we are kicking off, obviously, the award season. I understand, you know, I mean, let's just call a spade here. So obviously it's a big night. It's national exposure, worldwide exposure in some cases, and it's a big deal, right? So a lot of people sometimes, you know, they kind of go for it because they're looking for that publicity and they want to make the statement. And I get that, but I think you can do it and look amazing when you do it instead of, you know, being completely chastised because it's so horrible. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. I mean, you just speak the truth. When I say, well, and I tell everybody now that I know you and we're friends and that type of thing, that if you need to look good and you need to be your best, you need to go to georgebstyle.com because George is the guy who's going to, like, turn your life around, girl.
Well, I have to tell you, it's funny. I've changed some people's lives. It's like I have all different kinds of clients, and I really care about the way people feel and the way that they look. And I remember I had this client, and she got my name from somebody, and she called me, and I went to her house, and she was very kind of nervous and timid, and she was, like, in her mid-50s, and she had been married, so she was divorced, and she was single at this time, but she had a boyfriend, and she had her own company, and, you know, she was really trying to, she had lost a lot of weight, and she was really trying to change her whole life. Like, she was going to places where she was really uncomfortable and just working through it and wanting her life to change. So we did we cleaned out her closet. We went shopping to fill in. And then we put all these outfits together and we categorized them in different parts of her life, for her work, for her play, for, you know, going out and entertainment. You know, her boyfriend liked to take her on lots of events and, you know, show openings and gallery openings. And he's this really cool guy. And so, but the woman that I met at the beginning was not the woman that I actually did a wedding dress for. Thank you very much. They ended up getting married, and her business grew tremendously when we were working together. Like I said, he asked her to marry him. I did the wedding. They looked amazing. She looked insane and felt terrific. And it's like she now has this reputation of kind of looking amazing all the time and being like a very well-dressed and put-together person. And what I love about it is that it's not like I changed her. It's just like she sort of became her best self. And the kind of things that people were saying to her were, you know, you really are looking fabulous lately. Like, what's going on? It's not that you look different, and it's not that you looked bad before, but you just look so, I don't know, spectacular, and you just look kind of luminescent, and you just really look terrific in the clothes that you're wearing and the way you're carrying yourself. And it's an amazing thing to watch. And I think that confidence is a really big thing for people. And I think lack of confidence comes from when we kind of don't know what to do. And so I find it wonderful to see when people discover their confidence and discover who they are. And I think I said to you last week, you know, it has nothing to do with, you know, what you look like in terms of what you think how people see you. Meaning, you know, we might say someone is attractive, we might say someone isn't attractive. It has nothing to do with that. It's how you feel. Because how you feel is going to radiate how you look. And I think a great example of this is, like, you know, from old-time Hollywood would be someone like Betty Davis, right? Because if you break Betty Davis apart, it's not like Grace Kelly, you know? But she made us believe that she was beautiful because she believed it and carried herself as such. You know, in All About Eve, she looked stunning.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so we bought it as, you know, as that, as she's stunning. Another person I think that does that very well is Sarah Jessica Parker. You know, she's got beautiful eyes, beautiful blue eyes, but, you know, if you break it apart, again, it's not Charlize Theron, right? But
she,
you look at her and you feel like she's gorgeous because she's always dressed impeccably. She's got a fabulous sense of style. Her makeup is always impeccable. And she looks beautiful and carries herself that way because she feels beautiful. And that is a wonderful thing to grasp. And I think celebrities, you know, obviously they're in the public eye and they're going on red carpets and they're going to events and everyone's staring at them. So it's so important that they carry themselves that way. And, you know, it's much like the craft that they practice in terms of acting, you know, which comes first, you know, is it do you work from the outside in or the inside out? And I think it really has to start from the inside and then taking the time for yourself to choose the kind of clothing you want to wear. And if you're a woman, you know, taking time with your makeup and time with your hair and taking time for yourself every day so that you can, you know, design your day and then ultimately design your life. What do you think, Garrett? That's a lot of information, isn't it?
I am number one, I'm honored. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight. You always come in with fresh perspective on the world of fashion. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, I know our time is up tonight, but people, he's given you a world of information on what fashion does and fashion doesn't do on the Golden Globes. And, of course, if you want to replay this, just so you can take notes, because his words of wisdom go by fast and furious. You go back.
I do get kind of wound up, don't I?
But God bless you. You're passionate for that. So you can always go back to the replay and on demand and listen to the show and then share it with your friends and everybody else. So you can listen to George B. Style. George is going to be back on next Wednesday night, so just 7 short days from today. He'll be back on, and he's going to be talking more fashion sense for you. And we want to thank you for being part of the show. I want to tell listeners,
you know,
I got a lot of great feedback from George coming on to the show last week. I want to tell you, if you don't want to call in to the listener hotline, 323-657-1493, you can always send me an email on ratedgradio.com, Garrett Miller, or Garrett at GarrettMiller.com, and let me know what your fashion question is, because George can't wait to help you and make you
your most beautiful person. And tweet me, guys. Tweet me on George B. Style, and look at my fan page on Facebook at George B. Style.
So do all of that. So get connected to him. Find out what he's about, because I'm telling you, we have stumbled upon like 24 karat gold right here with George, and he is so willing to help you and improve your lives, and he will do great. Well, no, it's bless you. Thank you very much. And he's going to be taking care of you each and every week, and he cannot wait to answer your questions. So if you have something you want to ask, please let George know, and we will be glad to put you either on the air or read your listener question. If you don't want to be named, just say, don't say my name because people know me in Peoria, Illinois, and I won't say your name.
I promise. Call in.
You know, and it's always the best. And George is fantastic. Seriously, we have stumbled upon a gold mine with George for being a style guru out of New York City. I mean, listen, folks, this is a national and international show. We have Simon from England listening, London, England. We have people from New Zealand listening. We have people all around the country who listen every single day, and he can't wait to help you. Believe it or not, it is absolutely true. And so, George, I'm going to tell you, thank you so, so very, very much. I'm so glad you're my friend. I am excited that you're part of the show, and we can't wait to celebrate you next week as we talk about George B. Style. So I'm going to play a song or two. We're going to welcome Greg coming up on the show next, and we'll go from there. So, George, bless you, my friend, and thank you so much.
You,
if there's anything I can do for you, of course, just reach out, and it shall be done.
Thank you, Garrett. Lots of love to you, honey.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, everybody, it's 7:31. You're back with Rated G Radio. I normally do a three-peat at the half hour, but I'm going to tell you, I can't even contain my excitement because Greg Archer is going to be joining us like right now, and he's going to be talking about all things Hollywood. I mean, I don't even know how I get a Wednesday that I can be so fortunate to have two great guests on. I had George B. Style talking style and fashion for the Golden Globes, giving some helpful tips before, and now we've got Greg Archer on, who's the author of Skinny Bitches. And I don't have the book sitting right here in front of me, and I just gushed about it earlier today, Eat Skinny Bitches. So, Greg, tell me, what's the official title of your best-selling novel that I have read? I actually paid money for it, and that's how I got connected to you. And
wow.
Greg is going to
–
wait. I need to tell you, Greg's my entertainment guru. We're going to come up with a really catchy name for him. But for tonight, he's my entertainment guru. He's going to be talking about all things entertainment, talking about his recent red carpet celebrity interviews that he's done. And I am thrilled that you are on the show. So, Greg, God bless you. Welcome back to Rated G Radio.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to be back. Great to be back. Great show. Congrats.
Oh, my gosh. When I got ready to do the reboot of what we're doing, I said, you know, there's one person that I really wanted to, like, kind of, like, harass or harangue or stalk or whatever until I could finally get him to be a regular contributor to the show, and that was Greg. And because, you know, Greg, you know, I may read articles, and I may talk about stuff I've seen on the news or heard on the radio. Greg lives it. Okay, so he knows all the VIPs, he knows all the celebrities, he knows all of the power players, he knows all this, and he's going to come to us with a position of authority to speak about all of these people that he sees and talks to every single week. So my thanks to you for being a contributor to the show, and I am grateful to you, and I love having you here. So welcome. Tell me about your day.
The day. Wow, the day. You know, the buzz is all about Lance Armstrong being on Oprah tomorrow. Like on OWN, so you know she nabbed that interview, so that's been the big buzz. So my day has been filled with a little bit of that. I wrote something about that. So it's kind of, you know, it's big news. It's big news. Everyone's very curious about what he will say.
Exactly.
How, you know, like how he will come forth. And the inside report is that he, you know, does obviously reveal that, yes, this happens, you know, doping, et cetera, but it's not quite as a genuine of, I guess, a confession as, you know, Oprah would have hoped. So he kind of comes clean, but he doesn't. It doesn't seem like he might be all that sorry for it. It's like, I guess, almost sorry that he got caught. But that is the buzz. So we will find out tomorrow.
I've heard that, but you know what? Greg, can I tell you like a little Hollywood scoop? I do have some insight from David Letterman.
He says, "Who cares?"
He did say who cares, and he also created a top 10 list last night on The Late Show with David Letterman. Do you know what the top 10 list was?
I don't. Fill me in, please.
Okay. So when I read these, sometimes I might giggle, sometimes I might laugh, sometimes I might snort, and my apologies for all the bodily functions that might occur reading this list, but the top 10 list on David Letterman's show about other revelations from Armstrong's Winfrey interview, number 10, artificially enhanced his cycling shorts. Okay. Number 9, still never leaves the house without several vials of clean urine. I guess that's urine, you know, depending upon, you know, tomato, tomato. Number 8,
yeah.
Owns Texas real estate known as Rancho Decepto. Number 7, he took steroids to work up the strength to admit to taking steroids. Number 6, once had an inappropriate relationship with an air hose. Well, who hasn't done that? Number 5,
that's always fun.
It's always fun, but, you know, it is inappropriate. Number 5 also has a tattoo of Rex Ryan's wife. That's a reference I totally don't get. Okay. Number 4, has given up on making the Baseball Hall of Fame. Number 3, United States Postal Service paid him in stamps. I like that. This is my favorite one. Number 2, started erotic website Tour de Pants. And then the number 1 thing, admitted to doping just to get on Oprah. So according to David Letterman, those are the things that Lance Armstrong is going to admit during the interview that he has with Oprah. So anyway, so I don't mean to, I just found that right before the show started, and I was like, I hope I can squeeze that in. So tell me all the exciting things that are going on.
Well, let's see. I recently interviewed Cyndi Lauper, which she's a kick. She has a new reality show, and her Broadway show is opening in March. I actually had a chance to see it in Chicago when it was there in the fall, and it was already brilliant then, I thought. And I know they changed some songs and tweaks and things, which they'll keep doing until, you know, it's opened and beyond. But really wonderful, wonderful show, Kinky Boots. So
so tell me about the show. Yeah. Tell me what the premise is, how the songs play out, what's her involvement. I know a little bit, but I certainly don't know any. I mean, I'm like the 1% grain of salt compared to all of the insight that you've got. So tell us all about
that. She'll get nominated for a Tony, I'm almost sure of it, at some point. So, yeah, you know, it's based on the film, which came out, I would say, maybe about 10 years ago, something like that, called Kinky Boots. And it's basically about this guy that inherits his father's shoe company. And this plot's pretty much the same in the stage version. And the shoe company has been around forever, and modern times are now here. And, you know, to keep up with, you know, change, the decision is to either, you know, how do we move forward or do we let the company go? And so Charlie, the protagonist, gets help from a drag queen who wears kinky boots, and they design a line of, quote-unquote, kinky boots. And begin to market them, and sort of revolutionizes their old company. But it's a lot about change and embracing change and new ideas, but not, you know, giving up, you know, your core self too. So it's a very I think timely, you know, story. But the music is great. You know, there's yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, every song you listen to, you can hear. You can hear her. You can hear Cyndi Lauper. She wrote all the music. So Harvey Weinstein wrote the book. She wrote the music. And, you know, the songs, whether they're, you know, sort of disco or, you know, ballads or whatnot, you can really, you hear her in it. I mean, you could tell it's, you know, written by Cyndi Lauper. And there's some beautiful moments in there. It's very heartwarming. Yeah, I think people are going to dig it. And I think she'll get some major recognition for that.
Now, she's not performing in the show Kinky Boots, but she is what is her title? Producer, writer?
She is the songwriter. She wrote songs.
Songwriter. Okay, cool.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Yeah. I don't think anything's up on YouTube yet, although I might be wrong about that. But I really think people are going to be...
Is she just
taken
as down to earth as she appears in everything that I ever see? You know, because, you know, you'd see, you know, okay, the camera's on, I'm going to be nice. But then when the camera's off, you know, you get this really angry, frustrated, you know, yucky person. I get the impression she's like just a regular person who you would just like go out to have coffee with or go to lunch or go to dinner, whatever the case may be, and just be a delightful person to just have as a friend.
I think so. I mean, my sense of her, and I don't think I'm alone because she's done tons of interviews. You know, she's pretty down to earth. I've interviewed her before, you know, maybe 2003 or 2004, something like that, when she was touring and had another album of sorts come out. And she was just the same then as she is now. She's just very, she's real. She's very real. She's pretty humble. And my sense of her is that she's really all about the artistic expression. I mean, she said something. In fact, I wrote about it on Huffington Post. I think it ran last week at some point, Friday. You know, she's. I love what she said. She was, I'm basically here to serve the story, you know, for that particular play, Kinky Boots. And I think that seems like what she does with most of her work. She's kind of there to serve the work. It's not so much about her or her ego. At least that's my sense of it. And that's really refreshing. I mean, because you have a lot of celebrities or wannabe celebrities out there who are just, you can kind of sniff the ego in some of the stuff. So
I don't get that from her at all.
I don't get that. She doesn't have it. She's not
She doesn't go by way of the Kardashians at all. So,
well, you know, we can say a silent prayer of thanks for that.
Exactly, right? I mean,
oh my God,
scary, very scary. These times.
So what else is
there
on
is
the
authenticity
the,
there?
Yeah, well, I mean, she just seems like totally believable. So, what else is on the entertainment radar for the week?
For the week, well, you know, there's only two episodes left until American Horror Story has its season finale. So one's tonight.
So what do you think about that whole show? Did you watch last season?
Trippy. Yeah, I watched last season, and it was like almost unbearable for me. But yet I could not stop watching.
Why
it
was it unbearable for you?
I don't know, because I don't know. It was, they were going like all over the place, and I had to tune in because it felt like such a train wreck. But this season, I'm like, okay, I dig it. I dig what's going on. It seems more.
There's a story
more
this
focused.
Year.
Yeah,
right.
It seems more focused, and you know, Jessica Lange. I mean.
Brilliant.
Globe,
she needs
yeah,
to be like
brilliant.
Empress of the Universe after this season.
Man, I mean, Sister Jude. I mean,
oh
God.
My God, Sister Jude.
Lily Rabe as Sister Eunice. That was great. And Sarah Paulson as Lana. I mean, that. She's
all of
she's,
them.
Yeah,
you know,
they're all great.
For people who don't know, or who are just, you know, they listen to the show because they love fascinating conversation. American Horror Story, best show on TV. Disturbing, absolutely. Graphic, absolutely. Disgusting, absolutely. But is it a show, if you watch, you're going to be hooked in, hook and sinker. You know, hook, line, and sinker. You absolutely are. And if you are just starting with season two, you must go back to season one, either on Netflix or on demand, or go buy it or do whatever, because you're going to see a show last year and you're going to go last year, oh no they didn't, and then yes they did, and then they bring back so many of the same characters in a completely different plot line, storyline, and everything else, and you're like, oh no they didn't, and yes they did. And I'm going to tell you, this is a show this season that you're going to go like, this is really sick. You know what, but I got to keep watching. It's like a bad car wreck, like I saw yesterday coming back from Simi Valley. I was down on the 405. I couldn't figure out what was stopping up the traffic coming northbound. I'm going southbound back to the home office, and yet there's this Audi something or other. And, you know, somebody's either texting, putting on makeup, shaving, reading a book, texting, or something like that. And the car is totally upside down, and you see miles, literally miles of cars with ambulances and fire trucks. They can't go anywhere because the traffic's not going anywhere because it's all stuck at the wreck. And I'm just like, oh, please be blessed, people. I hope you're all not dead, but, you know, somebody lost their life. That's American Horror Story, and that's what you're going to see every night that that's on. And I'm going to tell you, you are dead on about all of the actors. What did you think about the, you know, the hot daddy from last season who comes back as the son of, you know,
I know.
This season.
Dylan McDermott, huh?
Dylan McDermott. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate all the scenes from last year where he was hardly wearing anything, but I'm
right.
Sure nothing. But wait, this is rated G. Okay, let's not go there.
Well,
so,
no, it's rated
anyway.
G because it's Garrett, Greg, and George. It's not rated G for anything else. So you can actually say anything you want. And everybody who's listening to the show, they're cool and hip and cool. So if you want to use a four-letter word like fabulous, you can, and there's not any backlash.
Yeah, well, he's back this season, and, yeah, they're wrapping it up. I, you know, he's, gosh, I don't know how much to give away. You know, people haven't seen it, but he is actually.
Well, if they haven't seen it, that's their tough luck, because we're trying to be current. And I will tell you, I have not seen this week's episode yet. So I'm going to, after tonight, or after the radio show tonight, I'm going to go and actually turn that on and watch that and see what we can find. But last week's with, you know, the African-American pleasure provider.
That's right.
With jumbo jugs of fresh breast milk. If that doesn't disgust everybody in the entire world, I don't know what will. That's all I can say.
That's
and if you want to say more,
you know,
that's fine, Greg.
Ryan Murphy, I just appreciate his mind.
Oh,
he's
my God.
Cool. I mean, even when he was doing Nip Tuck, I'm like, this is so different than what anyone else is doing.
Right.
You know, I kind of dig it.
Let me ask you this then. So he did Nip Tuck, which everybody totally either loved or hated. I loved it. I have everything on DVD. Only watched it one time, so you can't, you know, say I'm just sitting here watching repeats of Nip Tuck on demand. So then he goes and does this like G-rated Glee thing, and then suddenly finds this fantastic audience, and everybody thinks, you know, Ryan Murphy is fantastic. When he has this dark secret called American Horror Story in the background. So why do you think he went from something so deprived as Nip Tuck to something so G-rated as Glee? Because really, I can't get my arms around that. And then goes and does something so fantastic as American Horror Story, which is so disturbing that people are like freaked out over this.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I can venture to guess, but I think they're just extensions of things within them. I mean, like any artist, they create things that are sort of a part of themselves. And I think, you know, for me, when I look at Glee, you know, a lot of times when I look at Glee and watch Glee, it's like, oh, this is sort of, you know, mirroring a little bit of Ryan Murphy's, you know, high school experience, some of the characters, you know, and whatnot. And then, you know, American Horror Story, I don't know, that's just like, that takes Nip Tuck and cranks it up, like, you know, 10,000 notches. It's just,
right.
There's a, just a delicious perversity to it, but it's so creative in the way that it's all unfolded. And he really manages to, I don't know, capture our own fascination with the macabre and, you know, all that kind of kookiness out there. And with, he's just effed up. Cool guy. Yeah.
Well, I totally love the show, though, you know, and I cannot miss it. I need to watch it. I need to see every single frame of the movie and what movie, you know, it's the hour-long movie, American Horror Story, and see everything that happens in that, because you can't miss a frame, because if you miss a frame, you're missing it.
Yeah. Pretty amazing work that he's doing there. So I'm glad people are liking it. I'm already looking forward to next season. I mean, I didn't see it. I don't want it to.
So do you know anything about next season? Like what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. Are they going to use the same cast or, you know, anything like, do you have any other kind of like gossip you could share?
Well, they're going to use some of the same cast is what I have heard.
So do we know if Jessica Lange comes back for season 3?
I have a feeling she is. And,
everybody else is just like, cake frosting.
Yeah, I don't know about Zachary Quinto, who's great in this.
Right. Oh, he's great.
Some of the others. But,
did you just love when he, because again, if you haven't seen it, too bad, because this is not a spoiler alert. You should have been watching weeks ago. But did you love it when he, like, you know, got the lesbian girlfriend who is dead and was trying to, like, figure out how he's going to have sex with her? And then.
Yeah, that was a nice.
That was gross. Huh? And then, you know, they did the whole thing with him tying the girlfriend who she's a reporter, folks. And as a reporter in the 50s or whenever this was, she convinced the people at the mental institution to let her be admitted so she could understand what she was going to do and then release the whole story about all this, you know, blah, blah, blah. So if you haven't seen it, tough luck, because this is not a spoiler alert show. This is a current event show. And then Zachary Quinto kidnaps her as she escapes from the mental institution and then, you know, binds her and does all this stuff. And he tries to, you know, like, do things with her. And what happens, Greg? She gets pregnant.
She does. She's carrying the baby.
Carrying the baby. Yes.
Yeah.
So, oh, my God.
Grows up to be Dylan McDermott.
Right. And who wouldn't like to grow up to be Dylan McDermott?
Yeah. He's interesting. Dude, although I always find a lot of his performances wouldn't been the same, don't you? I don't know.
Yes.
He's sort of like one note, but whatever, you know.
He's
guy.
Very one note, but all he's right. Cute. So who really gives a crap? Are you going to take
right?
your clothes off, and are you going to be semi-naked or something like that? That's fine.
I just want to
say and do whatever.
I'm very grateful that he works out.
I know, because he's like 65 years old. So thank you for working out. Thank you for not eating carbs. Thank you for eating lean
very
protein.
Good
genetics. So we thank you for that. Yeah. So, okay, it's 7:51. We've got 9 minutes left in the show, and I usually play a song, you know, to wrap up the show. What else for the next 6 or 5 minutes can we talk about that's entertainment related? Because you have so much dirt and juice to spill with everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, also tonight is, you know, everyone's going to tune into American Idol. So, to see if real, you know, Nicki Minaj and Mariah Carey are really having this, you know, immense feud, which, you know, the publicity machine has generated. So I'm interested in that.
You think that's made up?
A little bit, yeah. I don't know, but I think Nicki is kind of, you know, she's a curious little beast. I kind of want to munch on her hair. It looks like cotton candy all the time. I like the different flavors she uses, different colors, you know, blue, purple, you know, pink, you know. It looks like cotton
candy. You're kinder than
me. And I don't know what she's doing in her southern hemisphere on the, you know, west side, but it doesn't look real. So I'm not sure what that's all about. Padding. Is it real? Who knows? Why do we care? This is what the world's come to. We actually care about her butt. Anyhow, but yeah, people are going to tune in tonight to find out about that. Scary.
Well,
who knows?
You
we'll
know, I'm saddened. I'm disappointed. I am frustrated to think that anybody would give a crap about this Nicki Minaj, who, if you've listened to the show, you know, I believe, and I'm raising my right hand to God right as I speak right now, she has no talent, no place to be on the show whatsoever. They just wanted somebody to stir up controversy that had cray-cray hair. That poor Mariah
Carey. Their ratings
who,
haven't been the same.
The ratings have been in the toilet.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They counted on the fact that Nicki Minaj, who idolized Mariah Carey for years and years and years, would come on the show and stir things up. And that poor Mariah Carey, that mother of twins, and that poor Nick, her husband, and who is just, you know, suffering from a blood disease and everything else, you just don't ever say a bad word about Mariah Carey because she's our girl. And you have that Nicki Minaj.
She's a sensitive creature. She's a sensitive creature, that Mariah.
I'm telling you. So I think American Idol is going to be interesting this year. We've got a lot of shows coming up in the next couple of weeks that will feature contestants and so on and so forth. They've kind of gone back to the basics about how they're going to structure the contestants and how they get to the final 40, final 20, final 10. And when it finally comes to the point where you get the actual chance to vote, find people of RatedGRadio.com. You're only going to have the top 10 to vote for. It's not going to be the top 13 with, you know, a save by the judge or any of this other kind of stuff. It is going to be only the top 10. You're going to vote using your 48 trillion opportunities per night, per week that you get to vote, which I think is a bunch of crap, but that's okay because I don't run the show and I'm not Ryan Seacrest yet. And then you're going to be able
that's
to
another
vote.
Anyway,
that's another one. Yeah, well, then let's, you know, we'll maybe save that for next week. So anyway, it's 7:54. Greg, we've got to wrap up the show. I can't even believe we're here at this point, but I want to say
quick.
It's totally quick, and it's so much fun. Thank you, my friend. I tell you, I will support you. Anything that I can do to help you or your projects, please let me know, and I hope to see you back next week. If you don't want to do Wednesday, we'll figure out another date. We'll do all of that. In the meantime, I'm going to wrap up the show. I'm not going to talk anymore. I'm going to say we'll see you tomorrow night with the author of The Ascendancy, John Weisskopf, and we'll see you back here at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And God bless you. Thank you, everybody, and tune back in tomorrow night. Here's a little Taylor Swift, State of Grace.